And welcome back to Success Made Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This is our Transform Traveler Show, presented by Edward Jones Financial Advisors and Gracefully Yours Travel Journals. Our returning guest is U.S. astronaut David Hilmers. He has flown on four NASA missions, including the Atlantis. David, welcome back to our show, and we're so looking forward to talking about travel with you today.
Well, thanks. It's great to be back, Rick, and hopefully we'll have a good show.
Hey, David, tell our listeners about your own backstory and take us all the way through you being an astronaut and up to your current role as a physician.
Okay, so I grew up in Iowa. I was born there and went to school in a real small community, probably 2,500 people in eastern Iowa. I went to high school there, and then I went to college in eastern Iowa as well. And speaking of travel, kind of interesting thing is, other than some family car vacations, until I was 20 years old, I never flew on an airplane, commercial airplane of any type. I'd never been in any kind of airplane before. During the Vietnam era, so I ended up going into the service during that time. And my first time in an airplane was going to boot camp when I was 20 years old. And so that was my first experience actually doing any real traveling. So I went off into the Marines and became an aviator. And actually, while I was in the Marines, I became was sent to graduate school and was an electrical engineer as well. And I had never really thought about becoming an astronaut during my early days. I thought it was a cool thing to do, but really never thought that a kid from a small town in Iowa would be able to do something like that. But I found myself just at the right time at the start of the space shuttle program with just the credentials that they wanted, someone with an engineering degree and an aviator, and I was blessed enough to be selected for the astronaut program. And I was, from 1980 to 1992, I was at NASA as well as continuing to be a Marine officer. And I flew on four space shuttle missions. One of them was the first flight of the space shuttle Atlantis. Another one was the first flight after the Challenger disaster. So those were some exciting missions, and I flew a scientific mission and one that was classified. So it was a very interesting career there. But something inside of me said that there's got to be something more that I want to do with my life. And having been a Christian for a long time, and I really felt called to kind of the mission field, and I thought, how could I use the talents that I thought I would have that I had, and to be able to do something. And I really felt called to go to medical school. So after 20 years in the military and becoming a Marine colonel and astronaut for 12 years, I kind of left that all behind and went back to medical school when I was 42 years old. And I went to medical school, did 4 years of school and then 4 years of residency, became board certified in internal medicine and pediatrics. And I've been a professor at one of the medical schools in Houston, but my real joy is traveling around the world and doing research projects and volunteer activities, disaster relief, malnutrition work. I've worked with HIV/AIDS patients in Africa, so it's been I think my journeys recently have been the most exciting and fulfilling part of my life.
Man, that's spectacular. You may be our poster child for moving from success to significance. Now, I want to talk a little bit about those countries where you were serving, especially on the malnutrition front. Tell us more.
Oh, wow. I've been to, I think it's close to 50 countries that I've worked in now on these type of projects, whether it's volunteer activities or the relief projects or research. And when I was working HIV/AIDS, I was working in the southern cone of Africa. I've also worked in West Africa. This past year, I went to Ethiopia, to Sierra Leone on volunteer medical mission work with my church. I'm going to go to Kenya about a month. Pretty much all over Asia, pretty much all the countries in Southern and Southeast Asia. I worked in Iraq during the war. And one of the most interesting places that I'm involved in now is working in North Korea, which is an area that really needs our prayers. And, you know, both from a spiritual standpoint and from an area that, you know, a real possibility of conflict arising again. And so it's trying to do something that shows our love towards their people, even though we may not agree with the political ambitions and political thoughts of their leaders, that the people there are suffering, and I have a real heart for working with them. So I've been to, worked in a lot of places, and each one has their kind of individual story and something that I always remember about them.
David, when you look at all of your travel experiences, how has travel as a doctor and serving others transformed you?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that kind of I see so much relevance from what I saw from space to what I'm doing now. And when I was going around the world and looking down from above during my astronaut years during those space shuttle missions, I would see the world in a different view than what I see now. You'd see this world kind of as one without boundaries. You saw the beautiful creation that God made, and I would see places and I would say, I need to go there someday. And because even though I was seeing the beauty of the Earth from space, I knew that what was going on there below was something quite different, and that there was a lot of suffering going on. And so I think that has now given me a little bit different perspective on the places I go. I see maybe what could be, what God created, and I see what man has corrupted. And it kind of gives me this vision of, you know, this is such a beautiful, remarkable creation that God has made that we can barely conceive of it. And yet here's what the suffering that we see here. And so I kind of see, you know, a vision of both things as I go to various places of what could be and what is.
You have got such a unique perspective like none other. Now, we have so many listeners that want to create change, and obviously they all can't be astronauts turned medical doctors. How can we get involved to do something significant?
Well, you know, there's so many ways that we can get involved. Certainly the basic thing that everyone needs to do is be a prayer warrior, and missionaries, whether they're afield or at home, they need our prayers. And for those people that maybe do part-time missions like I do, that we need your prayers. A lot of people, when I go on medical missions, say, well, I'd like to go with you, but I'm not a doctor. I don't have anything to offer. But that's absolutely not true. Some of the most valuable people that we have on trips are those that can do the kind of work that support the others that maybe are doing direct medical care. I remember when I was working in a refugee camp in Sri Lanka after the tsunami hit in 2004, late in that year, and we came in early 2005, and we lived in this refugee camp, and things that you don't even think about here, like making purifying water, that was a job that took about 2 or 3 hours just for the water to be purified each day. Setting up camp, cooking, all those things. We need people that don't need to be trained as doctors to come and support us while we're doing that. So absolutely, people can do medical missions, for example, without having to have specialized training. Obviously, monetary support is very important, but there's just so many ways that people can help directly. And I would really encourage everyone to try to get involved in some sort of mission work, whether it's abroad or at home, it just is life transforming.
You know, even one organization like CMDA, Christian Medical and Dental Association, or Samaritan's Purse, both of those organizations could use any of our listeners' help. And I'm certain that they would appreciate, you know, hearing from you all. Okay, David, now we're going to move to one of the traditional fun parts of the Transform Traveler Show, and that is our lightning round, where we talk about sensory travel. So let's travel over to Africa with you, and let's start with what is the most memorable fragrance that you recall from Africa?
So from aromas, I guess some of the aromas of coffee from some of the places that we work. Sierra Leone, I remember, call it coffee, but I also remember from Ethiopia that there's some gorgeous flowers there. And one of the places we were staying, it just had this tremendous growth of bougainvillea, for example, that were just amazing scents. So I guess when I was growing up, my father was a florist, and so I worked with him a lot, and I kind of trained my sense of smell to smell the various varieties of flowers that we grew.
Man, you got a special olfactory going there. On one of your most recent trips, tell us about the tastiest meals that you recall.
Okay, well, I guess my most recent trip, I guess, was to northern India, and I'll have to say that northern Indian food is a bit spicy, and so I remember my first bit of Indian food while I was there that was offered to me, and I guess I was being a little bit polite, and I just tried to take it, but at first it was just a little bit too spicy for my tongue, but I remember becoming accustomed to it. Northern Indian food is now one of my favorites, but it took a little bit of growing accustomed to it before I got that trained my tongue to enjoy it.
That's great. Let's move to sound. What sounds have blown you away?
Well, there's I'm remembering back in my days when I was working in HIV AIDS, and I was working in Botswana, and I remember going to the church there and just the amazing gospel music that they were singing there. I would go to this church service that was actually the service was in Setswana, which is the local language there, and so there wasn't a lot that I understood, but I just went because I just worshiped God so much through the music that they had there. It just lifted my heart. You know, it was just absolutely amazing. And I think that when I think of Africa, I think of the people there that were just singing these songs, praising God really from their hearts and their faces and their smiles. And just were amazing. And what a wonderful worship service it was. And I think that's of all the sounds of Africa, I think that's the one I remember best.
I think you just captured the touch and the sights all built around that last explanation. So that's pretty cool. Thank you for that explanation. Hey, David, let's close this show with a special lesson about fatherhood. And since this network focuses on fatherhood.org and it's our special cause, we'd love for you to tell us a lesson from your own dad.
Well, I think the thing that I remember best about my dad is that I used to be a athlete in high school and college, and the one thing that I can remember that there wasn't a single sporting event that I ever went to when I was a kid or my high school or even in college that my dad didn't find a way to be there in the stands cheering me on. You know, that meant so much to me about what it was to be a dad. And I think that's one of the things that I appreciated so much about him, that he really took that interest, even though when it wasn't convenient or he had work to do, that he always found time for me. And I think that's the lesson. You know, I've had a lot of experience in a lot of activities that are maybe kind of dangerous. And I've gone to a spent a lot of time in school, a lot of time away from my family. And I still think about my dad is that, whatever we want to accomplish for ourselves, don't forget about your kids and always have time for them. Even no matter when you're really busy and you don't want to be bothered, try to find that second or two or however long it takes to spend with your kids. Make them your first priority. And I know that I haven't always been the best father in that regards, but I always think of my dad in the way that he always found time for me. And that's, I think, really the message I'd like to leave with folks, dads out there, is that no matter what you do, what you think is important to you as a person, remember your kids, and you got to put them at the top of your priority list each day.
Man, that is very touching advice. Thank you for that. Hey, David, we appreciate you being on our Success Made to Last Transform Traveler Show. David, please keep making the difference and a big difference in this world.
Okay, it was my pleasure.
That was Dr. David Hilmers, former astronaut, now physician, and we sure appreciate his wisdom and his wit as well. And we want to thank our sponsors today, Gracefully Yours Travel Journals and Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Hey, when you begin to travel again in 2021, 22, you're going to need a journal to log in all of your great experiences. Make sure to go to gracefully-yours.com today. And if you use a special promotion code from our network, it's BOOK3, B-O-O-K, and the number 3. No spaces in there, folks. No capitalization required. You'll get 25% off of their best-selling AAA approved travel journal. And it's got places in there that will prompt you on the 5 senses. So you'll love using it. We hope that you can take advantage of that and support our wonderful sponsor, Gracefully-Yours. And also, we love our particular financial advisor at Edward Jones, Serban Marasini. He has guided us through all the ups and downs of the last years, and we appreciate his friendship and his guidance of our finances as we are going forward. And you can contact him at Serban, Maracine, at edwardjones.com. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us on our special Transform Traveler Show. Get out there and travel. And as we always say, may you live the best version of you through traveling. Have a great week. Gracefully Yours is America's favorite encouragement greeting card company. When you need encouragement, prayers, thank you, and oh yeah, to celebrate events like birthdays and anniversaries, this is the greatest greeting card company around. You can get it all at gracefully-yours.com today. And you know, while you spend $3 to $4 per individual card that you may buy at a Walmart, a Walgreens, a CVS, a Cost Plus World Market, and maybe even buying cards for $1 or $1.50 at dollar stores, Gracefully Yours cards can be purchased in their artsy collection of 12 cards. This is their box cards that'll cost you less than 75 cents per card. And top it off with, those are delivered to your home, your office, your church, your company, wherever, with free shipping. You just can't beat the quality, the value. There are 50 some odd wonderful fine artists that are all a part of the Gracefully Yours collection. So support Gracefully Yours today. Go to gracefully-yours.com today and support that company. And if you want to get your cards at an extra discount through Success Made to Last, you can put in the promotion code BOOK3 today. That's B-O-O-K-3 and get 25% off your total purchase. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at Serban, Maracine, at edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.